Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Okay, thank you to Michelle for sponsoring this channel. And so today we are joined by Stephanie Dano. Stephanie is a certified coach, embodiment facilitator, and compassionate and inquiry certified practitioner. She works with width, depth, and lightness to meet her clients where they are and help them find their own version of leadership. Today, she'll be sharing with us the curse of the helper in leadership. And if you have any questions for Stephanie throughout the presentation, please put them in the Q&A box and we'll ask them at the end.
Thank you, Sarah. So just to let you know that Sarah has been my assistant three times, so just a huge appreciation to Sarah to be the host today and tech host. So just be patient in case we need to share something as she has two roles today. So the first thing I wanted to share with you is that maybe some of you know, I've been hosting the Leadership Channel and it has been a work for about the last 10 months. And everything I will talk about today is related to a few sessions that has been happening during the conference. So if you have time, Sarah, if you can share, I'm going to share with you that the whole Leadership Channel is structured in a way that you can find what you need. So it's not, we haven't been looking for, I mean, I haven't been looking for speakers like randomly, but it has like a certain structure so it can help yourself. And you can always refer to that when I will talk to different speakers.
How do you have that, share that now?
Yeah,
I have it. Okay.
So it's just a rough idea. I will share it in as a PDF on my session, but it's just to give you an idea. If you can scroll it, just to show you that everything we have are through different topics. So inner work as a leader, working on inner critic, leadership mindset, and so on. So that's something I would share to you so you can be, you would be able to go through it if you focus on the Leadership Channel. And that's it. And the panels as well. And that's basically it. One thing I would like to tell you before I start are two things. If you're just joining, if you can have a proper seat to do some exercises. And the second thing would be to have a hot beverage with you. And I will start with this regarding leadership and being your own leader. Surprisingly, it has been in finding my own version of leadership has been something I have been struggling with for many years. And what I would like to say here is that the same as most of my teachers, so you will see Ginny Whitelaw, Kristin Neff, Gabor Maté, as I'm a compassionate inquiry practitioner, is that all of them, and I definitely include myself, is that we are a work in progress. So I'm not a guru here. I'm not going to tell you what to do. The only thing is what I believe is from life experience and all the teachers I've had, I'm just a little bit above on the scale, if you can say that. So my idea is for you to pull you if you get stuck on being misunderstood or not knowing what to do in life or what's your own version of leadership. So a few things I want to share here as it might be a little bit struggling, some exercise or some things I might say might be a little bit struggling. One thing I suggest, I usually do, so Christian Neff, for instance, suggests when you're in struggle is to put your fist and your hand on your heart. Jane Clapp offer this, to put your hand in the back and one in the front. What I found useful and also a little bit discreet when you're in struggle is to take a hot beverage and put it close to your heart. So that's why I suggest if you have a hot beverage and if you're feeling a bit in struggle when I would say something or do an exercise, that's one way. The other way is to put a hand on your heart and a hand on your belly at the lower, at the back, the end of your belly. So anytime you feel struggle, please use those two. I suggest if you can use those two tools to soothe yourself. But again, that's something you will find for you. You will have different techniques and different teachers suggest different things. That's what I offer for today. So the helper, when I suggest the topic of this session, I've had few responses of people saying like, oh, I'm the helper in the Enneagram. I think the word helper talk by itself, but I haven't done the Enneagram. My session is not based on the Enneagram, but more from the work I've done with Gabor Maté, where I had like a light bulb saying like, okay, that's really something I'm struggling with. And I'm going to give you the definition of what for me is a helper. For me, is a helper is someone that makes his or herself worth depending on the success of helping others. So I repeat, a helper is someone who makes his or herself worth depending on the success of helping others. And I will use something in bracket that is usually hidden, which is something that I will add, which is someone who's also thriving to be appreciated for it. And it's something that we usually don't talk about, but it's also part of the definition. So what I found in my clients as a commonality are three traits of the helper. The first one is sensitivity or hypersensitivity. And why? Because as a helper, you need to be attuned with the person you're with. You need to have empathy, to be in their shoes. So sensitivity or hypersensitivity is one of the traits. The second one is multipotential. So multipotential can be something really interesting when you love to learn and you have a lot of different passions. But there is a downside there, which is you're never enough. You always have one extra course to do, an extra thing to learn to be able to show up. And the third thing is being behind and putting others first. So I will focus a little bit more on that point, because when you put yourself behind, there's, I think, three ways when it happens. It can be circumstantial, like a woman that becomes a mom, and then she put herself and her needs behind for her children. The second thing is culture. So it can be culture because of where you were raised, by country culture, but also by family. So if you've been raised in a family where you used to play small and being really humble, it might be something that you have into yourself and you to your own soma of also playing small. And the last one is not having space to be seen. So that's something I will focus there. I will focus on its session is we are all thriving to be seen. Wherever you are on top of the stage or behind, that's we are something we're all thriving in our lives. So about the space of not being seen, usually it happens when you have had an adverse childhood. And there's also, I think, three ways of seeing that. And again, I will focus on Gabor Maté's work, and I've learned a lot from there. The first thing might be because you've had parents who have had substance abuse, like drug or alcohol, so have been nabbing and who haven't been present. The second thing is when you've had a parent with big ego or narcissistic, so you haven't had space to be seen. Or another one is where you haven't had a caregiver that with who you could tell about an adverse event you have had in your childhood. And what happened about that? Why I'm going back to the past is because when you're a child, it's all about, for a child, it's all about me. You know, you have your needs and you need caregivers to help you with your needs. So it's all about me. And instead of maybe blaming the situation or evaluating your caregivers, you put it into yourself. So there might be a time in life when you've been a child, when you have taken this responsibility to be your own caregiver or to be the helper of your parents. Now I want to check in with everyone to see how you're doing with what I'm saying. Good, okay. Same thing here. If you're a little bit struggling here, I advise a warm beverage in your heart or putting a hand in your heart and one in your belly, okay? Now what I want to do is to talk about, again, the right of having space and the relationship helpers usually have with people with big ego. So I would like you to think about a situation you have in your life or you have had in your life that can be at work, with your friends, or with intimate relationships, okay? When you haven't had this situation where you found you had your space or you weren't seen as you would have liked to be. And if you want to do it with me, I'm just gonna do it like this. You can put one hand under and one on the top, okay? And just like grab your fingers together, okay? This hand would be the person that might have a big ego or would take a lot of space, and that would be you as a helper. So what happened in this situation usually is when the person who has a big ego and who really express their needs way more than you do would pull up. And what happens is usually you're taking over, you don't have space anymore. So that's, if you pull it, and that's what happened to you, you're just not stable and you don't have space for you. The second situation that can happen is that after a while you want to have your space, so you pull yourself. And what usually happens with people with big ego is like they would lose a little bit to get you back, then you relax, and then it would put again. So that's one of the situations. Another thing that would happen is, can happen is when you pull back to take your space and the other pull as well, and you have a lot of friction and a lot of energy that you're wasting, okay? And it takes, and because you can see here, it takes a lot of time to separate. It's really a hard thing. And that's why I wanted to focus on on this situation. It can be in a company, it doesn't have to be a person per se, but a lot of people know that you're a helper, know your worth as a helper, and that's what they will do all the time, is pulling. And that's what I would like to later focus on, and what can you do to not being pulled over or wasting a lot of energy and health here. So what have you noticed when you've done this exercise? Is there anything that you've noticed that was relevant for you? So you can maybe see that this is more relevant for you when you pull over usually, or when you're trying to pull back and it takes a lot of energy. So just try to see during this exercise where you somatically feel more aligned to, and I will do other exercises for you to notice that. Okay. So we'll talk about the reaction. Another exercise for you to notice what is your somatic reaction is one exercise that might be a little bit triggering. So I would like you to do on the easiest side of this exercise is for you not to focus on me and to just listen to me, but to be standing straight. Okay, take space, stand straight. And I will, and you can have peripheral vision. So just don't look at me, just listen to me and you can look around. So first of all, notice your breathing, because I will tell you four sentences. And I would like you to notice your reaction when I say that. I want you to notice in your body what's happening, okay? So take a deep breath, first one. We can take it one together. So we inhale and we exhale. So notice your breath. Now I'm gonna say the first thing. What happens when I say to you, you're wrong? I repeat, you're wrong. The second one would be, it's your fault. It's your fault. So now we can stop here. You can shake it out. Shake, 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 shake. And I will do the other one. So when you're ready, same thing, breathe in, breathe out slowly, and don't look at me, just listen to me. The other thing would be, what happens if I tell you, no one cares? I repeat, no one cares. And the variation of it is, they deserve it more than you do. Again, they deserve it more than you do. Check in with what's happening. And again, now shake. Shake, 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 shake. Put it off. Put it off, put it off, put it off. Now I would like to see what happened to you. You can try to see if the first reaction of you're wrong or it's your fault is stronger inside of you than no one cares or they deserve it more than you do. It can happen that you have the two inside of you. Like I have had the two and I still do. Okay, but just notice what's happening here. And now I'm going to explain to you from a somatic lens usually what happens. Yes, get smaller. Okay, exactly. Very small, absolutely. And that's what I would, yeah, absolutely. So that's the thing I would like you to do again. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about what is going on. So again, take your hot beverage or put your hands in your heart and your belly. Yeah. And we'll go from there. And I'm going to tell you what's happening in your body right now. The one about no one cares or they deserve more than you do is when what Paul Linden call it, you smallify. So you put yourself small and you're more in a phone position. That's when you want to go back into yourself, just like kind of disappear. And that's where you're kind of showing up something around take my space. And usually there's there's an issue. You might have some difficulties with boundaries because you're just giving your space to everyone else, okay? There might be a sensation of betrayal around that. That it might be a reaction with the situation. The second one, what I say that I explained at the beginning, which is you're wrong or it's your fault, you might have a fight reaction. So it's usually aligned with resentment. And what happened in the fight situation is where you've got a narrow vision, a loop thinking of the situation. So the loop thinking doesn't prevent you to notice what's going on in your body. And of course there's anger, and that's where everything constricts in your stomach. Usually it's in your stomach or in your guts. I've seen it many times. I've been there. And that's where, just to let you know, in my 20s, I've been struggling a lot in that fight mode and resentment. And if you don't listen to the body because of the loop situation and you keep repeating what has happened and maybe what you would have said in that situation and so on, digestion problem, IBS, beginning of ulcer, no sleep, you name it. Okay. What happened usually when people notice that? So the first thing is awareness. What I've seen in many coaches and when people realize the situation is that they just react by doing the opposite. So when you smallify or you get yourself in the phone position, what many coaches, and I will give a name, which is Tony Robbins, but it's Tony Robbins like, they would tell you to take space and to become big. And the other one for fight is that instead of fight, which usually is going forward and you know, having this narrow vision and going for it, it's the opposite. It's not caring. Saying, I don't care, I give up. So all your plans, all your purpose, and all you've been drawn to do just disappear. What I'm offering here is for you to find between being small and being big, which might not be authentic, or fighting and not caring, a gray area. There's a lot of gray area in between. And I think that's where you can find your own version of leadership that is authentic. And that would lead me, oh, I forgot one thing, sorry. For the fight mode, which I know pretty well, one thing that I've seen in me and in many of my clients is to justify yourself. If you're in justification mode, you're in a fight mode. And that's where you lose your own sense of leadership. Okay? How are you doing right now? We still have some time, so if you can tell me if you're okay, if you want to have a small break, same, good, lovely. Again, you can shake, you can take your hot beverage. Yes, great. So now we'd go to the third part, because the first thing I wanted to share with you is awareness of what's happening and where it might come from. And the second thing is what I believe is a start for you to find your own version of leadership. And there are three things: dignity, space, and boundaries. So dignity, usually I have a special meditation when I work with clients where you can find really what, for instance, Richard Schwartz called yourself with capital S. Gabor Maté would call it your true essence. I'm a CTI coach, so we call it also inner leader. So we all have this strength inside that I don't have time to share with you now because it takes some time with the meditation, but I would show you a somatic approach on how it can look like. So what I would like you to do, if you have a chair, as I said, a proper chair, I would do an exercise that is coming from Paul Linden. So I haven't invented, but I've seen it works with many of my clients. So if you can stand up from your chair, so put your chair in the back. So notice that you will have your chair and you will have to sit on it, okay? So just stand up. I'm going to move my camera a little bit. And what I would like you to do is to take your two thumbs and put it in your hip junction. So it's not here up. It's just where your hip and your legs can move. It's just there, okay? If you can notice, it's just at the base. So if you can move it, that's where it is, okay? So hope you have your chair in the back, because sometimes that's why it's a little bit tricky. Don't fall. So notice you have your chair on your back so you can sit. And now I'm gonna tell you how to sit. I'm gonna put it here. Just put your thumbs, put it in your hip joint and push your thumbs and go slowly, go back to your chair. Sit slowly with this pressure of your thumbs. Okay, so that would be the first step. I'm going to bring it back. That's a trick for you to be really have a position of being really straight. The second thing is from the head. Try to have a peripheral vision. So not only seeing what is in front of you, but being able to see what is on top and on the side. And look just straight in front of you. Okay, that's enable you to have a straight head. Okay, another thing is to be able to think that you're pulling up by a string or something. Okay, and now we have some time. So what I would like you to do is, I'm gonna, if you can stay there in this position, notice your breathing. You can take your hot beverage or whatever if you feel like, put your hand in your heart. I'm going to repeat the sentences I've said before. The first thing is, you're wrong, or it's your fault. Notice what's happening. The second one is, no one cares, and they deserve it more than you. Notice if you have, now tell me if you notice slight change with the change of your posture. You can put it in the chat. Otherwise, you feel calmer. Okay. Yeah. Much more power, grounded and strong. Chest opening. Okay. Like a start of conversation. Feel more powerful. Great. Feel much stronger. Absolutely. Perfect. Much calmer. Doesn't hurt so much. So that's the first one. That's the first step. Maybe because it was second time, can be, but you can try again. Now, if you have the recording, you can watch the replay and try again and see how it works. As you know, again, I will name Paul Linden because it comes from him. This really nice trick. test it. I'm not saying like it works. I believe it does, but you have to test it. Don't trust me. Okay. The second one is space. So for people who do martial arts, who know about space, is if you can put your hand in front of you straight, I mean your arms, sorry, straight. And if you have a little bit of space, like put it around you, on top, in front. Imagine you could put it in the back, okay? All this is your space. Everything up to the end of your fingers is your personal space. So what happens is if you go, now it's a little bit difficult with nowadays, but I would like you to test it. If you with someone who takes space, if you embody that you have, that this is your personal space and you have the choice to let people in or not, I would like you to test and see if, even like if you take the metro or anything, if you have more space than your actual pattern of being and moving, when maybe people would bump into you or, you know, take your own space. It's really something that, again, martial artists know, and I find it really useful, is to be aware of your own space, and this is where your boundary is. So when people get into your space, you, what is important is for you to have the choice to let them in if you want, but if you don't, you can always step back or do what is needed to have your own space if you don't feel comfortable. And the third thing is boundaries. So boundaries, there's a really good EYP posture from Mark Walsh, that is the no pose, that I've seen a lot of helpers have struggled with. Again, I will, if you can look on YouTube, you can, how to do the no pose. What I find it interesting is usually, you know, your body talks for you. And if you do the no pose, and when I have clients, I can see all the patterns around boundaries and what it feels for them to say no. Okay, when sometimes maybe a no, it's not a real no. Maybe from education, you haven't had space to say no. So it's something that it's really important to work on if you want to take your own space and be your own leader. And because it takes a lot of time to work on this posture, I wanted to share with you another trick that I use for my clients, which I call it the semi-transparent bubble. So the same as the space I talked previously, every time someone talks to you or you want to talk to someone, every time there's an interaction and you might notice some trigger, imagine you have around you a semi-transparent bubble where you can breathe, you know, you can have some holes and so on. And you will see that any attack or when it triggers is not as strong, because you kind of protect it. It has, it's an image, but it has a somatic impact on how you keep your space. So it doesn't have to be physical, it's just an image. I would just suggest you to try, if you want, try and test it and see how it works. How is it for now? I just have a small exercise left. Love the bubble, great. Lovely. Good, okay. So I just have 5 minutes, which will look like a kind of meditation when I will ask you 3 questions. So again, you can take your hot beverage, you can close your eyes, you can put your hand in the heart and in the belly. Choose what is most comfortable for you. And what I would say is, you can close your eyes. Otherwise, I would suggest you to have a gaze vision. So where you don't look at me, but you just listen and being aware of where you are. Okay. I'm just going to put my chair a little bit closer. And we'll take like 3 breaths together before I suggest the 3 inquiries. So we inhale. Let's inhale. And a deep exhale. Second one. Inhale. And exhale. Notice your breathing, how it's going. The last one, inhale. And exhale. So my first question would be, notice if anything happens to you. It can be a somatic response, or it can be a word or an image that comes to your mind. The first one would be, what if we all had enough space to be? What if you had enough space to be? What if your purpose would naturally come through you? What if your purpose would naturally come through you just because you are? What if we are all needed? What if you are needed just as you are? So when you're ready, you can open your eyes or going back to the space and let me know what has happened to you, or if you have anything you want to share. If you notice anything, you can put it in the chat. Feel lighter. Feels free. Keep falling forward, okay? A smile came to my face. Incredibly tired. Yes, it's a lot of work, internal work. It makes you feel tired. That's a good work you're doing. Feeling of acceptance. Relax and smile. Yes, and kindness. Yes. Peace. Okay. So now I'd like you to, if you have any question, put it in the Q&A. And would you be ready, Sarah, to, otherwise I can just like read them, but as you, if you can.
Yeah, we have a few more keep popping up. Well, the first one is, how can I find out more about you and your website if you have one?
Oh, yes. So I do have one, but as a helper, I've put it aside for quite a few months, as I've been working a lot on the conference, but my website is simply as my name, stephaniedeno.com. So you can find me here. My work, same. I usually work in companies or individual one-to-one, but my thought is if people are interested to offer package and a kind of course together. But again, it depends on your interest. So you can send it to me, your interest, and then we will see it from there.
Okay, next question. What are the positive leadership elements or advantages of the helper?
So there's a lot. Another thing that comes from, I would say from Ginny Whitelaw, I've learned from EFC as well, from Mark Walsh, is a helper usually watery. So by watery, I mean is if you move like this, people who are not always necessary, but the adaptability is one of the strengths of the helper. Creativity, as I say, because of the multi-potential. And I would say also giving space to others. As long as you keep space to yourself, I believe it's a strength to be able to give space to others as well.
Lovely. Okay. What would social anxiety make it so that you need the bubble with every single person in order to feel comfortable and safe? Sometimes I feel triggered by everything.
Yeah. I think it's a good trick as a start. I believe the three things I've mentioned, which is dignity, space, and boundaries are really important until you don't learn how to say no and have your own version of dignity. I believe it's a really good trick. I would say the next step is maybe for you to find your own version of dignity and boundaries.
I love the label or name helper. How is that received in businesses or organizations?
Good question. I'm going to give you an example of some executive that I found as helper. Actually, I think there are helper in every position. We might think people are always behind, like being assistant or having in the hierarchy of the company like lower roles. I have seen executive that have been promoted for being a helper. Where I've been working with them is because when they promote them because of the quality they have, the first reaction usually is like, oh, me? Really? Well, you have chosen me? And then all the boundaries goes down. And they're usually people who have a hard time to say no. So we would put their health at risk for the sake of being a helper. So it's nothing wrong there. The thing is usually, there's a lot of work around boundaries to be done.
The questions that you asked at the end, that set of questions to ask yourself, can you repeat those? Them down and put them in the chat.
Yeah. Do you want me to put it in the chat or do you want to?
Sure.
Yeah. Can you write it, Sarah?
Yes, I can write it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Go through them again. I'll type.
Okay. Great. So the first one is, so I have two versions. Okay. But for each question, but the first one is, what if we all had enough space? And the second one is, the second version is, what if you had enough space to be? Okay. On purpose, I've done it all questions as is. Okay. The second one is, what if your purpose would naturally come through you? So I repeat, what if your purpose would naturally come through you? And I add something, which is just because you are. Okay. Sorry, I haven't followed the chat. Are you okay, Sarah? Yeah, great. And the last one is, what if we are all needed? What if we are all needed? And the second one variation would be, what if you are needed just as you are? What if you are needed just as you are? Yeah, exactly. So again, my take is for the helper and non-helper, as I've done the exercise here, is there's a fight for space and being seen. So until you don't find you have space to be, because helper usually finds worth by doing instead of being, that's where I think it's a good inquiry to start with.
Okay, lots more questions. Do you feel this is similar or has overlap to the drama triangle?
I'm not really sure about the drama triangle. So if you can help me, Sarah, with this.
Deborah, I'm not sure. Deborah, maybe you can clarify in the chat.
Yes.
And we'll go on to the next question while she
I'm
types
just
that.
Wondering if it's like the victim and, you know, something around that, the drama with the victim. But please specify, Deborah. It would help me to answer.
Okay. So question while we wait for that is, when does adaptability or flexibility become too much of people pleasing and not having enough courage of conviction and organization?
Yeah. So that's another thing that I could show you, you know, when I did those two hands, is when you get dignity, it's really hard to grasp for the other part, okay? When you're so malleable, it's really easy to pull you over, and then this back and forth, pushing, pulling. When you have dignity, there's no way of doing it. So one way of that I suggest again is working on boundaries, but my tip would be, and I put it in advance, is to always do mikvah checking in your body. When you're noticing you're getting forward, which is like a really way of being a helper, is giving your help no matter what, that's where you lose balance and you lose yourself. So my best tip would be to really all the time double checking, doing checking during the day and noticing what's happening in your body. If you're leaning forward, you're losing yourself. So that's one of the way of seeing if you're going too much forwards in your helper mode, in a way that you're losing yourself.
Great. So Deborah did clarify. She says the drama triangle is a social model of human interaction. The triangle maps a type of destructive interaction that can occur among people in conflict. Yes, the drama triangle model is a tool used in psychotherapy. The triangle of actors and the drama are oppressors, victims, and rescuers.
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm trying to show here, and I think it has come from all the teachers I've had so far, and Gabor Maté is a big advocate for it, is no matter what happened to you, and no matter what you are doing, I would say there's a reason to learn. There's something to learn there. if you have had repetitive situation when you've been a victim, that's what I learned from my own experience. If it happens once, it might be casualty. Twice, you might consider. Three times, then you can already say you have a role in this interaction or situation. So my take is that actually you can work on that. If you want to change it, it's not a victim situation. You can work on that and find your space and do what is needed. But helper is a gift. It's just a matter of founding, again, dignity, boundaries, and space for you.
Great. I used to feel that when I spoke, other people did not hear me. And I have noticed this since with other people who speak in a group situation, but don't seem to be heard, even though their voice is audible to all. What suggestions do you offer for someone who felt this was happening?
Yes. There's two ways of seeing it. The first thing is actually this somatically an issue with the voice. With the helper and with people who play small. It's something that happens in the body because helper usually have everything up. So you might have a lot of strains in your heart and sensitivity, but usually what we're missing is, you can talk about chakra, you can talk about chi, whatever, is the strength of the half bottom of your trunk. Okay, so that's your chi and so on. So if you able to practice breathing and strength, you can find it in Zen leadership, in Zen meditation, this Hara breathing. The more you practice this type of breathing, the more your voice would be stronger. So that's one thing. The second thing is again about space. Even if your voice is audible, but you have a small posture when you phone, people don't notice you because other people take space for you. That's how it is. So again, dignity, space, and boundaries.
Someone was clarifying on the business and organization with helpers question, saying that I meant when you say that you are a helper and how are you received in the organization? I'm thinking businesses might not want to hire you as a helper. Is that how you position yourself when you are approaching business clients?
No. No. The same as when I offer deep work that I've learned, for instance, with the trauma-related work with Gabor Maté, I never say I do trauma work. Because usually helpers would come to me saying they have in a personal level or in companies saying they have communication issues. And we start from there. So that's the first thing I do. The second thing is usually in companies I would do workshop around stress, around communication. So I use like a model again from Ginny Whitelaw or Mark Walsh, FC. I mean, we all have together, which is the four elements. So how people can communicate better. I always start from there. I would never say, you know, I'm going to take your executive and we're going to do trauma work. I don't think no one would hire me for that. However, what I say is that I would go as deep as needed if someone needs change or wants change, definitely, because it has to come from your client. So, I hope it has answered your question.
I like that. Go deep as needed if someone wants change. Next question is, where would you recommend we start with our individual work with boundaries?
Start small. As always, start small, start with boundaries. As I say, if you take the public transport, this one was space. So this one is for boundaries. I'll always suggest you start small. So it can be if you go to the bakery and asking for bread, or if you have, always something small in your life when you need to fight for. I don't know if you need to claim for a 30 cents refund on your ticket. So always start small. Never start with your family members, for instance, or your partner, because it needs like a certain muscle. So I would say to start small. If you can say from a range from 1 to 10, start with a 2, 3, trigger and then keep building. Ginny Whitelaw, yes. Ginny Whitelaw, I'm gonna So Ginny Whitelaw has been in the conference, in the leadership channel. She offered a program called Blend Leadership that I've done. And of course, like others, I can recommend.
We do have a couple more questions in the chat. Maybe we have time for one. Someone is saying that the sentences, no one cares or they desire more than you do after the practice with the fingers. Mm-hmm. I felt a sense of, I think, disturbance. Is there another practice that we can do, or maybe just continue with this one?
Oh, this one was more that a somatic approach of the situation. It's not really an exercise per se. It's more like to show you the dynamic. The exercise is more around practicing, again, dignity, space, and boundaries. And maybe with the replay or with someone else who would tell you the few sentences that usually, actually, what we call it in coaching, we call it like our gremlin or inner demon or whatever. These are the small talk you usually have when you feel triggered. That what pop up first. So if you can have someone, or you can maybe record yourself with those words, listen to it, but do the difference between being you or your usual pattern and playing with dignity, boundaries, and space.
Okay, maybe final question. What kind of breathing were we talking about to improve the voice?
Yes, sorry. So it's what the way I've learned it is, again, through Ginny Whitelaw, but I'm sure there's a lot of, people who work on breathing techniques who can tell you. One thing I've discussed with Ginny and that I have noticed in myself, and she has noticed it too. You can hear it. I had her on my podcast. So if you look on my website, you can hear her story as well. Helpers usually breathe from here. That's all the emotional part from the chest up. So the voice change. The voice is usually, I mean, I have a high pitch voice, but that's from nature. But if I practiced deep breathing from the hara or from the chi, or basically it's how can I explain that in 1 minute? It's how to inhale, and when you exhale, you imagine that you're pushing an arrow to the floor. So it's a way of exhaling to practice breathing from your belly and from your lower belly, and practice your chi, or name it, ohara.
Okay, well, actually, about your voice, someone said in the chat that you have a very soothing voice, and it was exactly what they needed today. So thank you, Stephanie. Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for attending. I can say, as your helper, helping put the leadership channel together, that it's been a pleasure helping you and helping the conference. And there's so many blessings in being the helper when you have the boundaries and everything that you're speaking of. So thank you so much. And I just put in the chat Stephanie's website, as well as all the links for the embodiment conference. Obviously, this is available for 48 hours, but at this point, it's really about being able to digest this and all of the 1,000 sessions in your own time. There's also a link for the coffee breaks to interact with other attendees at the conference between the sessions. Everyone's saying, wow, thank you so much. A wonderful session I can use immediately. And so what is your final tip, Stephanie, your final top tip for embodiment?
So again, I think I mentioned it before, is I cannot highlight enough, is do micro checking every day, checking what's going on in your body before, I wouldn't say before it's too late, but before it goes too far and you lose your balance and boundaries. So always do micro checking before you help someone or you have any interaction.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Feel free to check out the portal and upgrade for the whole package, or donate to the conference as a thank you for all of us, including Stephanie here, for helping put this together. So we hope to see you at the next session on the Leadership Channel, and everyone have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.